Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. My guest this week is a sort of legend of British theatre, television, everything really. Her name is Anita Harris. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. Anita Harris is my guest this week. I don't know where to start with you because your CV is so huge.
Well, I see you have cake, so that's not a bad start.
I have cake. Honoured guests get cake.
Lovely. Thank you.
You are about to tour in a production of Cabaret.
Yes.
That's brilliant fun.
Yes. And we are in the third day of rehearsal.
Oh,
so the nerves
that.
Are kind of sort of, well, there's a huge frisson in the room, but it's a very exciting time because this Cabaret has been performed in so many areas in the world with Candor and Ebb music. But we're so lucky. We've got Rufus Norris directing and Tim Welton, who is with us in the rehearsal room at the moment. And he's very kindly giving us a clean canvas so that us new girls and boys can... He's allowing us to find our own thing within that framework that is so solid, you know, from the show. So,
see, I'm looking
exciting.
At you and I'm thinking you look like Sally Bowles to me.
Oh,
I know you're not playing.
I've left it a bit late.
Well, I don't know that you have. I look at you and I think, well, actually, you could do that.
Oh, that's very kind of you, darling.
But we're going to go back before we'll talk more about Cabaret in a bit.
Okay.
We're going to go back because I didn't know all this stuff. I looked it all up about you and lots of stuff I didn't know. You were an ice skater to start with, weren't you?
As a kid in Bournemouth, yes. And then at Queen's Ice Rink in London.
So you took it pretty seriously.
I started at the age of 7. My parents and my lovely big brothers, Philip and David, were all in Bristol. And I was born in Midsomer Norton in Somerset.
Right.
Where the cider
Very
apples
lovely.
Grow, yes. And then we all moved to Bournemouth when I was 7. And the three of us, my brothers and I, we took to the skating. We just loved it immediately. There was just a small little Westover ice rink there, you know. And then it suddenly kind of took over even my schooling, which is in my report.
Can
do better, yes.
Could do better if did less ice skating.
Yes, however.
Anyway, the ice skating had to stop because you went off to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that happen?
Queen's Ice Rink again, 2 weeks before my 16th birthday. Our talent scout came in to the rink and spoke to Harry Lauder, who was the manager of Queen's Ice Rink, who knew my parents, obviously, and knew me, and said, we're looking for a girl to go to Vegas. And I auditioned. I went to what became the New London Theatre, and in my little skating outfit. It's all so naive and sweet at the time. Anyway, I was offered the job. And of course, parents, mum and dad were in a huge whirl of decision-making.
Mm.
And
because you were not quite 16.
No, and also they obviously learned that I'd be heavily chaperoned and all of that would be looked after. But they wanted me to go to further education and do all those things. And anyway, bless their hearts and thank them. They let me go. And Amy MacDonald was one of the other girls in the group. So we went for 3 months. I was just a chorus girl dancing in a line. Mm. And we stayed for 6 months. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. For anybody that has been to Vegas in the last 20 years, it's just a glorified bubble of lights and entertainment. And but then it really was just a desert. With the strip, which we didn't strip, with the strip, which is
the Vegas strip,
the huge highway that goes to beyond infinity. And there were just about 10 hotels that were turned into casinos, into theatres. And we were at the El Rancho Theatre, El Rancho Hotel, with the star of our show was a gentleman called Joe E. Lewis, who was a huge American comedian at the time. And it was like being at the, not the birth of something, but the beginning of a bubble that was happening, you know. And opposite us, across the strip, was the Sahara, and Mae West was appearing there. A little bit further up the strip was Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, where I heard my first jazz. Then Vic Damone at the Dunes, a bit further up. And then, at the time, at the Desert Inn, was Blue Eyes himself.
I was going to say, yeah. Was it not, yes, Frank Sinatra? Did you go and see him?
Well, we did three shows a night. So we started at 7:30, finished at 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Then
when
some of
16.
Us would
yeah,
exactly.
Don't think that would be legal now.
certainly an initiation period, getting the fishnets pulled up for the first time, etc. Then some of us would go on what they called a breakfast ride, and that even now to this day I can see visualize how we'd start horse riding on in the dark. And then the whole of the desert would be bright red. And then as the sun came up, you know, you just saw the little bit of snow on the cacti and on the hills. And, you just look back and you think how glorious. And now to get to the desert, you want to drive for a good hour. Mm-hmm. But we were actually in it, you know. Yes, we had a night off every 12 nights. And because everybody else did three shows a night, we were able to go and see three shows on our night off. And one night, my chaperone took me to see young Frank. Mm-hmm. And it was only like 2 minutes out of my life. We were sitting there fairly at the front, the curtains open, the orchestra, and it was an orchestra in those days, started, and then these blue eyes came at me. And, of course, he was just wonderful, but then taken backstage, and I had these magical couple of minutes of Frank Sinatra saying, "Oh, you're going to come into the business, you know, and good luck, young lady." And
he was nice and encouraging, and had a bit of time.
You never forget it.
What an incredible, extraordinary start to your career, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you didn't start singing much until you came back to England, is that
correct?
Right?
I tried over there, but did a couple of auditions and things. But no, came back and auditioned for Cliff Adams and joined the Cliff Adams Singers.
And your first hit was a song that Dusty Springfield suggested for you. Is that right?
Right. I then came out of the... by the way, one of the Cliff Adams singers was a young man called Jerry Dorsey, who became Engelbert. Yes, absolutely. So bless his heart. Came out of that, met a gentleman called Mike Margolis, who is still my lovely husband. He said, "You need a manager." And found me songs of the Burt Bacharach era, the early 60s, you know, and mid 60s. And I was singing Trains and Boats and Planes on Top of the Pops one day. And dear Dusty was on the same show doing You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, Be Close at Hand. And she came across after my rehearsal and she said, "Anita, you and your Mike have to meet my brother Tom because I think he's got a song for you." And that was like a gift that, again, you never forget.
No, that's so generous, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. What a fellow artist. She knew it was a good song. She could have sung it for herself, you know. Mm. And so she gifted that. And when I go out and do my shows, I always say, "Thank you, Dusty."
Yeah, that's a fantastic gift. And then, now, Carry On, Doctor. We went into a couple of Carry On films.
We did.
How was that? And you worked with Frankie Howard and people. How was all that?
Well, it's because of Frankie Howard that I got into the Carry On films, because we were doing a review at the Prince of Wales Theatre in London. Mm-hmm. And being a review, he was doing his comic work and I was doing my singing and dancing. And then we got together for some sketches. And such fun. And one night, the producer, Peter Rogers, and Gerald Thomas, the director of the Carry Ons, came in to talk to Frankie about his next Carry On film. And after the show, I found them in my dressing room. And they said, "Would you like to be in a Carry On film? Well, what would you say?"
You said, "Don't worry."
Yeah, so that was how it was. And little did I know that the first, it was Carry On, Follow That Camel with Phil Silvers and that incredible team of players with Kenneth Williams and Sid James and Dear Barbara. And
was Kenneth Williams frightening?
At first, yes, because I was only just sort of 20-something and a bit naive still and also nervous because I overheard, you know, what's a pop singer coming into to the movie world and all of that. But I found my way because most of the team, especially Barbara, who was always Barbara Windsor, always first in to work in the mornings at Pinewood. And we were, of course, filming in the Sahara Desert, Camber Sands in March, you know, the romantic image of it all. But she was always first in morning nitty, cup of tea, love, you know. And so I did have a comfort blanket. But it took a while. And then after one take, Kenneth Williams came and gave me a kiss on my cheek. And I thought, oh, I've been accepted, which was lovely because the longer it goes on since they were made, the more respect I have for the job that they all did.
Mm.
The fact that they've sustained all these years and each new generation embraces those little films, you know, they were all done in 6 weeks each. So it was Gerald Thomas really treated them like an army. You know, everything was scheduled out to the minute detail. So a wonderful learning curve.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, and now I think probably for me, I first remember you with the magician,
David Nixon.
Who, I don't know, I suppose younger people don't remember him, but that he was a massive star. And that was, you know, prime time television.
7 years on Thames Television every Monday. It's a long time to not only work with someone, but to admire. And again, because I was initiated into the magic circle.
Did you have to be so that you kept a
secrecy?
Swear secrecy to all the tricks.
He was a charming gentleman and so talented.
Mm.
People that didn't know him, as you said, his persona on the television screen was very warm
and gentle and kind.
But it belied the skill of the magician. And the skill, he was a superb chess player. He was also a great, he could take a grandfather clock apart and put it together again. He had that kind of mechanical brain, you know.
So he worked out his own tricks, presumably.
Yes, he and Ali Bongo, who was his assistant. His father-in-law was a musician orchestrator called Eric Robinson, and between them they invented something called the Mellotron, which became the keyboard. So his inventiveness was always there, you know, and to be around that, it's really exciting.
So I suppose you've done one woman shows, haven't you? So you've been continuing all this time singing, but sort of the musical world, your first sort of West End musical was Grisabella and Cats, Back to the New London Theatre.
Yeah, exactly, it began with your audition.
But did that feel odd to go to the kind of West End musical scene after your television career and all of that?
Odd wouldn't be the word, delight. And the theatre had been transported into the world for Cats. John Napier's design for the set and Cameron had really taken that theatre and made it into, obviously with the feeling that hopefully it was going to have a long run.
You're quite right about that.
Exactly. And again, the craftsmanship that went into that show, and I had Trevor Nunn all to myself for 2 weeks. With the arm, anybody that knows Trevor, the arm around the shoulder means that you're allowed in, you know. And we talked about, he said, we must find your Grisabella. We've had Elaine and had Marty, and now you've got to find your own Grisabella. And like what we're working on now. It's wonderful to be able to be allowed, if you like, because you're stepping into somebody else's shoes, to be allowed to find that something.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
And you've done, now, Principal Boy, Panto, lots of times.
Yes.
No sign of all of that. And Principal Boy, obviously, played by a woman, which,
yep.
And some of that doesn't happen anymore. I know there are some places where they really stick rigidly to the
very
old-fashioned.
Few now, actually.
But Windsor, I think, always does. But, or did anyway. Don't know if
it's
does.
It's part of the transition of life and, you know, what is the persona. The very first Peter Pan was a lady called Nina Busico in 1921. And that was the first boy-girl kind of image. But, yeah, it's something that is in a way a shame that there's a part of the old British vaudeville music hall culture that has now left the theatre culture for here, for Britain. I took on the role of Vesta Tilly, who was the first mm-hmm. male impersonator, Burlington Bertie. I guess it's a sign of me being over 21, but I miss that flamboyant use of Shakespeare, use boys playing girls, you know. Mm-hmm. One mustn't lose that allowing actors to be any gender or anything,
mm.
you know. And so in a way, part of Panto has gone, but other things take over and other types of music takes over.
I suppose,
you know?
These
so
things have to develop and change.
We go with what's happening.
So now here we are in Cabaret,
yeah.
Bill Kenwright's production,
yeah.
playing not Sally Bowles, but Fräulein Schneider.
Yeah.
You do get to sing, actually, one of my favourite songs in the show, which is Married. I love that. Have you
it's
rehearsed
pretty.
That one yet? You've only done 3 days of rehearsal.
We have. I'm still looking at words at certain things.
And you've had, as you say, an incredibly long marriage because you met your husband years ago.
46 years we've been married.
Years.
Yeah, God bless
Little
you.
Little round of applause.
Yeah, thank you so much.
What's the secret of that?
Love.
Is it? No, oh, that's sweet. See, everyone always says, oh, being patient and not, you know, listening and all that.
No.
You just say love, which actually is what it's all about, isn't it? That's
absolutely.
So sweet. Yes. Now, the Cabaret has some really dark moments, and I kind of, it's interesting to think of it now in terms of the political climate that we are now living in.
Yes.
It must be interesting to be in something that actually feels quite relevant to today's.
There is that. It catches and encapsulates the rumbling of fear and the overwhelming performance of... There is this Kit Kat Club where it is very run down and very... But they keep the music going. It's a pretense that life is normal or life is wonderful, a bit like the 1920s with the Charleston. It's a German thing. So you've got this incredible energy with the music, but then underneath, as you say, this rumbling of fear running through. It's, as you say, a very dark piece with some huge emotional scenes. We are finding it's a wonderful cast. Lovely John Partridge playing the MC. Mm. I mean, he's just brilliant. We did MasterChef together.
Mm.
We did
the
antique road trip together. Oh. So it's really back to the drawing board with this. But it's a delight to see him working.
And then a new young star, Cara Lily Hayworth,
who's
we've had on our podcast.
Have
because
you?
She when she was
Cilla.
Playing Cilla,
yeah,
which she did phenomenally.
I actually didn't see it, but I can now seeing her. And yesterday she sang Maybe This Time.
Oh,
she's going to bring the house down. absolutely glorious voice, but also just so real and delightful. Absolutely. It's going to be quite something. I'm very excited.
And is it the Bob Fosse choreography in the traditional way?
Yes, it is. We haven't actually met the whole company yet.
Because you're only 3 days into rehearsal.
Exactly, but doing the what we call bedding down the scenes first, and then we get the whole company in next week.
And you're going all over the country with this tour.
Yep.
Yes, you've got a list.
Here we go.
See, you've got a list of where you're going. You can just pick out. Do you want to pick
We open in Bromley.
You're opening Bromley.
Bromley, Wolverhampton, Nottingham, Crawley, Chester, Dublin, Belfast, Leicester, Shrewsbury, Hull, Edinburgh, Aberdeen, and on.
Right. Malvern. Okay. That doesn't sound too like going up, down, up, down, up, down. Which are the places that you are particularly looking forward to visiting? You can go back to your list now.
Whoa. Because it's a big show and a big set, they're mostly big, beautiful British theatres. It's a wonderful thing to arrive at a theatre and just embrace it. And most of them are just still, they've been kept beautifully and are just glorious. I'm just an old hoofer, really.
Is there a part in a musical that you've always longed to do, that you'd love to do now?
I've always longed to be Dolly in Hello, Dolly. Yes. Yeah. Just kind of natural, really. Hi, Bill.
And, I mean, you might choose something from Hello, Dolly, but is there one song that if you could stand up in the Palladium or somewhere, or the Albert Hall, from a show and choose to sing?
Well, there's one song that I do in all of my concerts because it's so beautiful and the lyrics are so beautiful, written by Leslie Bricus from Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And it's called You and I. And I just, when I'm with an audience and we've had a whole evening together, and I just say, thank you for sharing and this time, making the effort to come to the theatre, and we all meet here. So this is a moment of you and I, and it's you and I will travel far together. We'll pursue our little star together. We'll be happy as we are together. We may never get to heaven, but it's heaven at least to try. It's just something of bringing everybody together, you know.
Oh, that sounds
well done, Leslie Bricus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How lovely. Mm. Anita Harris, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We can have cake now.
Lovely.
That was Anita Harris, and if you'd like to hear more of my podcasts, we'll go to magic.co.uk/podcasts. You probably already did, actually, to get this one, but there's a whole lot of back catalogue ones there. Have a listen, and pick out your favourite names, and enjoy.
Find your new home in Marysville at Cook's Point or Kenmore Place. Two amazing, ardent communities now offering free rent for 2 months. Choose from spacious apartments with luxury touches like walk-in closets, modern kitchens, and private patios or balconies. Plus, you'll love the community perks like a 24-hour fitness center, resort-style swimming pool, and beautifully landscaped grounds. Move in today and live rent-free for 2 months. To schedule a tour or get more info on rent specials, call or visit ardentcommunities.com.
Hey, Columbus, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. Are you thinking about updating your bathroom or kitchen?
Don't call some big out-of-town franchise. We're local, top to bottom, right here in Columbus.
We know our city, we know the homes, and we always treat every project like it's our own.
On time, on budget, zero pressure, so you can actually enjoy your home.
Visit simplebathandkitchen.com today.
We make it simple for you.
That's simplebathandkitchen.com.
simplebathandkitchen.com.